And I just wanted to see if the ladies had a good class. Nothing was said. Joyce, did you have a good class? Okay. Put somebody on the spot. Huh? Certainly a subject and verses there that could have used some more time. Although Jethro acted a little shy about it, a little scared about it, there was lots of discussion and lots of people waiting to share, I believe. Nevertheless, we're looking at a different kind of subject in a sense. You can turn with me to the book of Jude for the message this morning. I believe the introductory verses here, verses 1 and 2, talk about Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. Jude is right before Revelation. If you turn to Revelation, then just one page back, you'll find Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. So the writer here, most everybody agrees with it's written here that Jude is the writer. It's a servant of Jesus Christ, and he's a brother of James. And so, kind of an interesting introduction. I think probably most of us that come from families that have brothers, that you might, myself, if I'm with certain age group, I'm the youngest of six boys. And so if I'm talking to a group of men that are in their 80s, I would say, well, you know my brother Luke. And he goes to this church, he lives a certain place. So you know, that's kind of what's done here. You know James, that's my brother, right? And so that's what this introduction does here. It's just a little different, but it's not really that much different than how we would say. But he says here that we are preserved in Jesus Christ and called, and he gives us this blessing of mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And so that would be my blessing here this morning, that we would have this mercy and peace among us. There's not that much peace around us, but we can have peace in our hearts this morning. That, I believe, is what he's talking about. The term sometimes we hear is soul peace. We have the peace in our soul. No matter where the circumstances are, we can have peace in our soul. And so he goes on here with the next verse of verse 3 as the key verse to the chapter or the book. And he tells us here, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the coming salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And there's a period there. So let's look at this verse just a little bit. If you have other versions with you, you will get probably a little more of a definition here, what this really is saying. But he says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the coming salvation. And so his goal in setting out writing this letter was that he would write about their things they have in common, about how they came to Christ, and a letter of love and comfort like a Philippians letter. And that's what he started out to do. Can you see that? Does somebody have another version? Maybe you could read for us here. Just the first.
I have this in the NIV. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints.
Okay, I think ESV and a couple NLT and those would say something very close to that. So can you get the picture? So Jude is setting out to write a letter about this coming salvation, about this salvation they shared. I mean, that's kind of important to notice here. That was Jude, the brother of James, half brother of Jesus. That was what he set out to do. And so can you Also then sense, when you read the rest of the verse, but it was needful, or the Holy Spirit directed me, is a very, very clear way of saying this. The Holy Spirit directed me to write unto you and exhort you. Now it's no longer this Philippians type letter, but now it's an exhortation letter. It's something that he wants us to sit up and notice what's being said, because he's being led by the Holy Spirit to write something different than what he would really want to, or what he was setting out to do. Something important is coming. I exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And so my heart goes out to the day we're living in, and I want to share that with you, that Jude is sharing with James, with his readers here, and you and I. I want to share with you that there is a need that we would earnestly contend for the faith. When we talked this morning about how weird some definitions are coming through the modern dictionaries and so forth on the subject of marriage, just marriage by itself, then I think it's easy for us to understand, or for me to understand. Hopefully we can give this message to you this morning, that it's easy to understand the need to understand a subject like marriage. Do you need to know every detail or everything what the Bible says and all the subjects of the fundamentals of Christianity? I don't think that's what God expects. But I do believe, because he is asking us, encouraging us to earnestly contend for the faith, and we should know a little bit about these basics of Christianity, because they're being challenged. It's the definitions that you're looking up. Your children are going to look up in marriage, and it's going to say it's some really strange things. And it's so easy, in a sense, when you look at God's way, to describe that, or to give that meaning or the answer, and yet they make it fuzzy. And so I want you to look at this morning, that he changes here, and he's asking us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The purpose is simply that. And then he goes on in different avenues on how his heart goes to explain that. The Holy Spirit has changed him to an exhortation. I exhort you earnestly. Exhort you. And earnestly gives words of meaning and feeling and urgency and seriousness, and on the words of this description could go. It's not just a weak suggestion. When we are asked to earnestly contend for the faith, I think it's something that we should take seriously, something that it should be taken as a strong suggestion. So what are we earnestly to contend for? It says here, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so let's look at that just for a moment. We're not talking about you and I's faith that we have in God. Right? It's not a letter that's going to describe how great a faith of Hebrews 11. That these people had, or Jude has. That's not the term or the meaning of what he's saying. The faith that needs to be contended for, that was delivered to the saints in the beginning, is basically, maybe that's not the right word, but it's the fundamentals of Christianity. It's the basics of Christianity were apparently being challenged. There was a concern here, or we wouldn't have changed focus by the Holy Spirit. And so, I thought it very fitting here this morning to think of that as we go through this day and the changes that are coming in the next years. So we think of the changes we have already seen. One of the things that we need to focus on, I think, as Christians, is what was delivered to us in the beginning. What are the fundamentals? how is that going to affect our lives when we start mixing in? Here was, I believe, most everybody agrees, Gnosticism. That, and I'm not going to get into that, but it's kind of the same feeling I get from 1 John, that his urgency in those letters were that they were not liking the one idea they don't care for in the Gnosticism teaching, is the idea that Christ came in the flesh, because flesh is evil, and so forth. And so I think some of that is in here too, which it's not as easy to discern. But he has a concern that he wants to share with us, and that's what I want to give to us here this morning. So it's not my faith. It's not talking about my growth. We're not going to talk about how you are doing and so forth. But it's the fundamentals of Christianity. So what are the fundamentals of Christianity? Some of these things that I am going to outline here, not in detail, but outline here, are they must be in place for a church to be called Christian. And for us, we need to earnestly contend for these. The things are going away from the basics, the way Jesus gave it to us in the beginning. We're moving away from it. It's a different society, and we're seeing these changes. And so, the first thing I think of is the authority of Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read in 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know those verses? It's profitable for rebuke, and you can make a whole sermon on what those words mean. And when we come into the thought that it's not that important, it's kind of like I sat in the Sunday school class this morning. Okay, so I'm sitting in this circle. Why, we don't have to discuss what God's view of marriage is, right? I mean, it's just there. That's in our minds. We don't have to hopefully discuss here this morning what it means when we believe in the authority of Scripture and that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We don't have to sit here and discuss that, right? But at the same time, that's what we believe, how it was given in the beginning, and if that's being challenged, then I think, well, you know what? We better know what it says or what it means. And I'm not trying to sell something to you this morning, but maybe to help us, encourage us to stick together or to continue to read the Scripture as it's given. The first one is the authority of Scripture. Now think about it. Is that really the bottom line or the top or the first item? When you talk about this subject, earnestly contending for the faith, is that really the top? Would that cover everything else? In a sense, to me, I looked at that and thought, oh, okay, you could just stop there because everything falls under there. If you don't believe in the authority of Scripture, that all Scripture is inspired by God, given to men by the Holy Spirit to write down for us to read and understand, if that's kind of fuzzy in your mind, if you're not going to be comfortable with that, and you're not going to be solid on that, then the rest of what I say is going to be fuzzy too. And doubt, you'll have doubts. Is there anything more important than believing in the authority of Scripture that it's inspired by God? I had to think about that a little bit. And I don't know that you could go anywhere else and come up with it. So maybe it's number one. Maybe that's why I have it as number one. The second one I was thinking about is the incarnation of Jesus Christ, which these are just, I don't have all the fundamentals of Christianity. There is actually basically a start and stopping point, which I don't have near all of them. The incarnation of Jesus Christ simply meaning that he came from heaven as God, became man, flesh, lived among us, God in sundry times and divers manners spake in the past by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. That's because he was here in the flesh. He had direct connection with God. Everything he said came from God. It was God speaking. He was God and he was flesh. Hard to understand, for our natural minds to wrap that around that. But do we believe that? That's a fundamental of Christianity. And that is being challenged. In fact, I think some of this Jude concern here, and especially in John, and even Galatians talks about Gnosticism and not believing in the, not liking the idea of the, talking about the flesh, because that's sinful. But do we believe that Christ came to the earth in a human form and human flesh? That's the incarnation of Christ. You can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and read about some of that. Again, not something I need to convince you of, hopefully, but it's being challenged today. Another term that we use as a fundamental is the vicarious death of Christ, simply meaning in a big word that he stood in our place, he was our substitute, he paid the price, and all the layman terms that we would use to describe that. When I think of that, and I think of our day, we are coming to a time of a lot of religions being influencing the world as we know it, and all of them are based on a works religion. And so when we look at this substitutionary death of Christ by shedding his blood on the cross, we have a bigger fight than we used to, if you will. Because there's so many percentages of our people in the world that are doing things to appease their God. And this is a gift which kind of comes into another one of salvation by grace. The other thing that's given in a fundamental is the resurrection. Very exciting topic to study when you sit down and you read about what that really means. When he talks about being the resurrection and the first fruits, of being resurrected first and giving us the picture and the assurance that we're going to be resurrected with him. That's a very interesting subject, and that's just covering the tip of it there. But it needs to be in place to live an assured life that's knowing what's going to happen next. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. He was brought back to life. Simple for us, hopefully. Let's keep that in mind. The subject of heaven and hell is a fundamental of Christianity. The Bible teaches us about heaven. Lots of verses about heaven. It teaches us a lot about hell. And there's two separate places. One is reserved for those that choose not to follow Christ. It's just a place of eternal damnation. The other place is heaven is a place of bliss for those that choose to follow Christ and accept his substitutionary gift of the vicarious death of Christ, if you will. And it's not usually how we say it, but that's where it's at. There's two places. Do you believe that? And of course we do. And I want you to consider that to be important. It's important to understand that. Those eternal destinations are set. It's either one or the other place, and we can think about that in a very serious manner, that God has given us the opportunity to receive the free gift of salvation, which is the next one. Fundamental Christianity is salvation by grace. It is not by works, lest any man should boast. And so then, it goes on to the Trinity. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the Trinity, but those... And as I look at these, when I wrote them, we have quite a number of people in our neighborhoods that are active in different religions that question, that give you teachings on heaven and hell, and they're not the same as what I talked about. Do we believe that the Bible teaches there's a two places, heaven and hell? It's important. There's a lot of people around here that don't. I shouldn't say a lot of people, but you know who I'm talking about. The whole idea of the Trinity, same group of people. Do we know what it means when we talk about a triune God? And that's a whole subject by itself. Well, as we looked here, those are just a few. You know, you can go to the blood of Christ is challenged because they don't like to talk about blood and it's too bloody and all that stuff. The virgin birth, it all goes on and on. Those are fundamentals. Let's keep them in mind. Let's talk about them. And I think Kevin said something about the brotherhood here or fellowship. And I also would like to commend you when we have these subjects, even just like our Sunday school lesson, when we have these subjects, I wasn't in the ladies' class, but I am pleased that I have said to people already, I believe our men look at subjects seriously. They dig into stuff. And I think I would like for us to continue that. Young guys, look at it. What does it say about heaven and hell? Is there two places? Well, your neighbors don't all think that. And so do we know what the Bible says? It's being challenged. The fundamentals are being challenged. And this is the reason for this letter. And so the last phrase there I find interesting in verse 3, it says the idea of this was once delivered unto the saints. There's a verse, and it just slips my mind. But there's a concern from Paul in maybe 2 Corinthians 5. I shouldn't say that, but it's something about somebody else bringing another gospel. And he goes on to say, and I'm afraid, in my words, I'm afraid you're going to agree with them. If somebody preaches another gospel, which you didn't learn from us, that's my words, I'm afraid you're going to agree with them. I'm afraid you're going to put up with it, is what the King James says. And so, when we look at this phrase, the fundamentals were actually delivered unto the saints. Once delivered to the saints, it's a true gospel. It's what we need to find salvation. It's what we need to have answers in life. It's what we need for the information to get us from here to heaven. And whether we accept that or not, it's still there. It's once delivered to us. It's been there. It's being brought to us. And when Paul teaches this, then it's the truth. And so there'll never be another. There's no another book. There's no second book needed. It's God's revelation is complete as we have it here. Nothing can be added, and we shouldn't add or subtract to even what we have. What we're encouraged to do with these fundamentals is that we are encouraged to grow in the knowledge of these truths. There's no truth. Nothing can change it. The truths are the truths that were once delivered to us. Well, then it goes on in verse 4. It tells us here that something is happening here. And so as we look at our day here, and it's very easy to transfer these words into our day here, but something is creeping in. And this is not new news or anything like that, that this is just happening in the beginning of 2021, that something is creeping in. But it creeps in slowly. What it says here, for there are certain men crept in unawares. False teachers. Teachers and people with influence. People and teachers with lots of likes. Lots of followers. A lot of subscribers. And they teach other things. And we need to be careful with that. I think this fits just really close to Facebook. They're creeping in unawares. And so each one of us has that information of different people. There's enough of false teachers out there for each to have our favorite pet, you know. There's lots more than just what we, if we each have one favorite teacher. They're creeping in unawares. And so all of us have this knowledge. And all of us have this truth, but the truth is here. And so my concern, I think what he was concerned with, is that We earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's something that was brought to us that is there solid, and you guys, all ages here, can take it, and it's good. We're good to go. But the warning is that there's people creeping in unawares. There's people coming into the church in the back door, if you will. And it says, goes on, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These men that are creeping in unawares are denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn it with me to 1 John chapter 4, just a page or so back. I think you'll know what I'm going with here. 1 John chapter 4, very interesting passage here and a challenge for all of us. When we realize that there's people denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ, there is people that are letting him out of the picture in their religious activities or religious claims. And so what does the Bible say that you and I should do or can do? We have the ability. I believe we have the Holy Spirit living within us to give us direction, but we also have the Word. There's instructions given here for those that are for us to tell or be wise. When we're coming up against Facebook or YouTube and we see these preachers, and what are they saying? What is it? What can you and I do? Can we just say, well, God, please give me the right answer? I think He will. But I also think in 1 John chapter 4 it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. So here's some practical instructions. We men, we like lessons or 1, 2, 3 instructions. So here it is. When these men are around us that deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, there's something for us to do. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Hereby you know it. Here's the answer's coming up here. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which whereof you heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Our test is to look at this teaching that you might be hearing, and what do they actually say about Jesus? Well, there's a lot of people that still accept Jesus that still have other wrong fallacies in their teaching here and there. But one of the basic things is when we get into deciding here in verse 4 of our passage here in Jude, that these people are denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to that, that's pretty serious. That's denying Christ. That doesn't take a lot of discernment. But they apparently are pretty sneaky, or it wouldn't say they creep in unawares. And so what's happening in your intake of things that we absorb in a week's time? Is it really of God or isn't it? Let's test the spirits. Try the spirits whether they are of God. Because we know many false prophets are here. And you can know the spirit in what they say about Jesus. Nothing very new this morning, but I would challenge you to realize that there is people that are creeping in unaware, something that was predicted long ago, it says here in verse 4. And we need to be aware of it, just as in Jude's day. I believe we have men in pulpits across the world that are still doing the same thing. We hear an easy gospel being preached, and everything is about the gift of salvation without any commitment or any submission to Jesus Christ himself. We hear things of hyper-grace and emphasizing grace over in abundance so that it gives a license to sin. There's a shallow view of sin Everything is okay with God anymore. It doesn't really matter. Such a shallow view of sin, and the love of God is preached so boldly and so loudly, which is a correct gospel and a correct message, but it's the judgment and the reality of God is left out of the equation. Let's remember this morning. I challenge you to read these explanations that he has in here from verses 4 down to verse 19. Challenge you to read that sometime. There's explanations about these men that he's talking about that have crept in awares using Old Testament settings. Then you go to verse 20, it says, "But ye, beloved." And so this is how I want to leave you here this morning. Beloved, here this morning, as a Bradford Mennonite church, what are we going to do? We're not in a desperate state here yet. We're not in a challenge of every minute, like being persecuted. But I'd like to leave you with a message that you would prepare to build yourself up. That's what it says here. Jude's concern for you and I and these readers here says, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. And I believe that connects to that verse 3 when it talks contending earnestly for the faith. Build yourself up in those subjects, those items that I mentioned. Again, I don't challenge people that we're not all apologists here, that we can give all the definitions of the vicarious death of Christ. But I think we should know about it, so that when the speaker comes up and the articles come into our view in today's language, then we need to know. And so the key is, as we leave here, that we would be built up in our most holy faith. It goes on, praying in the Holy Ghost. The prayer of the righteous man availeth much. You will get answers from God by prayer. And verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, waiting for his return, and living as if he would return today. And then it gives on in the closing verses, quite interesting, verses 22 and 23, kind of subjects on their own. Because of all this that's going on, because of what is the concern of the article, that we would contend for the faith, because of the people creeping in unawares, there's an urgency, and some, in verse 22, some have compassion on some, and some have compassion is a better way of saying it. On some have compassion. When we meet the people in the world today, some we need to have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire and doing a more direct approach to those two groups of people. There's subject on its own. And then the last verses that we read as a benediction, now to him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with his exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, both and power, both now and forever. So the verse 24, kind of interesting. I think you've heard that being rattled off meaningless closing sometimes, just because that's verses that you've heard. But what Jude is saying here, it's now to him, unto Jesus, that is able to keep you from falling. Friends, here today, when we leave, we're when somebody reads that, they're committing and promising to you that Jesus is able to keep you from falling. And that's what's being said, whether it gets rambled and pushed together as a preacher puts it by heart and kind of out of habit. But really what's being said, he'll keep you from falling, and he's going to present you faultless before God. And that's something you and I can't do. Can you be faultless before God? I don't think so. And so let's think about that next time that's said and read. But the urgency is this morning, in my focus to you, is that we would earnestly contend for the faith. Stand up to where the people know what we're saying. And to be able to do that, we need to know what we're believing. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the promises in your word to be with us. We want to just ask your presence with each one as we go from here, that we together would be able to continue to discuss the fundamentals of Christianity. But Lord, then also that we could be doers of what we know and what we discuss. Just bless this congregation as we continue to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a song at this time.
In your Christian hymnal, 448.